Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. Today is Election Day. Everybody get out there and vote. This is a show, as you all know, about investing in the millennial stock market. So we look at investing through the lens of the changed world that we're in that started in 2008. We call that the millennial stock market. ARMA Report stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. In the world we live in today, managing risk is step one of investing. And what we're going to discuss today is how to manage the risk of election night. Now, of course, the first thing we do on this, by the way, is a live trading desk. We're managing real capital. It's 12 o'clock in the middle of the trading session. I take a half an hour out to share information with you directly off of our trading desk. So forgive me if the phones ring and I have to put you on hold for a minute. And right on cue, the phone rings. All right, we'll skip that. Okay, look, let's focus. This is not your dad's stock market anymore. It's not your granddad's. It's a millennial market. You've got more information coming at you from all angles. Okay, your dad never heard of the internet. There was no such thing as email. Twitter wasn't even a twinkle in Jack Dorsey's eye. Okay? These are all the tools you've got to deal with now. Tons of information. How do you sift through it? How do you make the right investment choices? Well, what we do here is we use algorithms to help us with our execution. So we still focus on traditional fundamental analysis. And we're going to get to that later. I'm going to talk about the stocks that we own in our portfolio right now and the groups that we're focusing on where we see trends of institutional investing capital going into these spaces. But we use millennial tools to execute, tools like exchange-traded funds, tools like algorithms. And today I'm going to discuss the options market as a tool to manage risk. So without further ado, I like to start off every show with a review of where the algorithms are for the big five equity indexes. The S&P, the NASDAQ 100, the Dow Jones Industrial, the small caps, and the mid caps. Please follow us on Twitter to keep up to date on these most important algorithms. It's hashtag Armor Report. If anything changes during the day, I hit it there, and I talk about it at 12 o'clock the next day on this podcast. You can also follow our real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor on our homepage at rosenthalcapital.com. We try to update that as fast as possible to keep you abreast of the situation when risk changes. Right now, if you go to the website, and I'll give you a minute, take a look, rosenthalcapital.com, you'll see right there on the homepage, real-time Armor Report risk-on, risk-off monitor. We have a new risk-on entry for the S&P, the Dow, the small caps, and the mid caps. The only area of the market we're avoiding right now are big cap tech. We're focusing on the precious metals and the cannabis stocks. Those are the two groups we're focusing on. And what we say here on this monitor on our homepage is that caution on this entry is wise. Caution. So what that means for an investor, I try to help you decipher how to use this information I'm sharing with you. Try to figure out what category you're honestly in. Go to a mirror, look in the mirror, look at yourself and say, am I conservative? Am I kind of middle of the road moderate, or am I an aggressive investor? And then look at your portfolio. And if we say it's risk on across the board, but cautious, what we're saying is we're putting some money to work, but not, you know, 150% of our money. There's certainly no margin being used, and we're not even 100% long. For the moderate investor, we're getting long, but in a reduced fashion. And the reason for that even though we have the algorithms telling us to get long, you know, on 4 out of 5 of them, we're at this very strange crossroads in the market. We have a risk-on signal, but at the same time, for the first time in a long time, the 50-day moving average and the 200-day moving average on the S&P 500, using SPY, the ETF SPY, as our tool, both moving averages are in down trends and have been for 11 days. This is a very, very troubling development. When we go back and look at our data of successful risk-on investment opportunities, the least successful risk-on opportunities occur when the 50 and the 200 moving averages on the S&P are in downtrends. The reward is not that great. And I'm always talking about how I want to get on the right side of statistics and probability and reward versus risk. I really only want to commit capital when the reward is significant, because the risk is always going to be the same. So I want to get paid when I'm right, and I want to get paid big. And when the 50 and the 200 day are in downtrends over the last 15 to 20 years, statistically speaking, when we say we're risk on, we don't get paid big. We might make some money, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot of chop. And the risks of getting stopped out for a loss are higher, and the rewards are not as great. And that's why in my portfolio, I have a moderate amount of capital to work. So if you're very conservative, you may not have any capital to work right now. There's a lot of cross currents, a lot of craziness. Maybe you only have 25% of your money to work. That would probably be best for conservative. If you're aggressive, you have 100% of your money to work, but you know you've got, you know it's risky, and you're going to have to hit stops quickly if things go awry. And if you're, you know, conservative, kind of moderate in the middle, I don't know, maybe you've got 50% of your capital to work and 50% cash. So you're participating, but you know, if things go awry, which statistically speaking, the risks of them going awry are higher now than at any other time, based on the moving average direction, you know, you're able to deal with those volatile swings. So that's what the algorithms are telling us. So, you know, I say we're going to talk today about the election and how it affects investing. You know, it's a short-term event. Nobody knows what the outcome is going to be, and more importantly, nobody knows what the reaction in the stock market is going to be. So you can just turn off CNBC, turn off Bloomberg, forget about reading or listening to investing pundits that will tell you what the market will do based on what the result is. Nobody knows. I remember 2 years ago when Trump got elected, everybody was convinced that if Trump got elected, the market would crash. And I remember at 11 o'clock at night when it was clear Trump was getting elected, the futures market were absolutely getting destroyed. Market was down 5% when it became clear Trump was a winner. And by the end of the day, the next day of trading, the market had rocketed higher. So everybody take a big, deep breath and do not make investment decisions on what the outcome of an election is going to be. That's not how to run money. Guessing what the direction is going to be is not how to run money. We have an investment thesis, and we just follow through on that thesis, and we really could care less what the results are tonight. So on our trading desk, we're not trying to prepare for any of the results. It doesn't matter. What do we have here? Number one, 4 out of 5 of our indexes are telling us to get long the market. Number two, the 250-day moving averages are in downtrends on the most important index, the S&P, which means risk is at its highest for a new risk-on signal. Number three, So we're using those two pieces of information to have moderate investments here and knock it out on a limb. That's all. And I'm going to let the political environment take care of itself. And whatever the reaction is in the futures market overnight, don't panic and don't get too excited. It could be the exact opposite by the end of the day of trading tomorrow. Probably the more important piece of news will come later this week when the Fed meets. I think it's the Fed meeting this week. I think I read that they're going to be making a statement. Is that what it is? I have to take a look. Sorry about that. Somebody can tweet me what the Fed's actually doing this week. I'm not prepared for that. Sorry, guys. But the Fed's doing something this week, and that's more important than what happens tonight when it comes to elections. So that's the practical part of this show. We have an investment strategy. We're following it, and we don't care what's going on with the elections. I am in my own portfolio. I'm going to share with you this information. I do have investments out there. I am probably close to over 50% exposed to market volatility. And so what I'm doing is I'm using puts on the big index ETFs to offload some of that risk. And I'm doing it more because of the moving average 50 and 200-day direction than I am about the election tonight. The election tonight's results could just be the catalyst for the market to plummet to new lows because the 50 and the 200-day are in downtrends. This is the last chance for a risk-on position this year to make money for us, in my opinion. If this one fails, I think the market's just going to get ugly into the end of the year. And when you have the 50 and the 200-day in downtrends together for 11 days now, you need this buy signal to work. We got to see higher prices quick because on those moving averages, with every day that they go forward, October's sell-off becomes more weighted. It's a moving average. It's a rolling moving average. So, you know, 200 days ago gets dropped off, and then the next day gets added. So the weakness of October becomes more and more pronounced on those moving averages, unless you get a reversal immediately to start rebuilding the uptrends for those moving averages. So this is a really critical juncture. I'm going to put money to work, but I'm also going to hedge it with puts, just in case things get ugly. It's just a conservative way to run money. I'm not telling you to do it. I don't know who you are as a listener. If you want me to literally tell you what to do with your portfolio, then I suggest go to the website, rosenthalcapital.com, see the phone number, give us a call, and I'll chat with you and see if we can work together. But short of that, what you could take away from this podcast is – think of yourself. Am I aggressive? Am I conservative? Or am I moderate when it comes to my investment strategy? And then build your portfolio accordingly. I would say I was a moderate investor. I'm moderate. I'm willing to take risk, but I like to hedge it off unless I'm in a market where the 50 and the 200-day are in uptrends and I get these rip-roaring entry points, and then I get 150% long, sometimes 200%. I mean, I get real aggressive in those instances. But in this instance, I'm definitely the least aggressive that I usually am. Okay? So I hope that helps. Now let's just switch over, talk a little bit of politics before I get to some thoughts on where we're investing when it comes to groups and individual stocks. I just have to get some things off my chest about the political environment. Rule number 71 of things that I'm going to teach my children. I've got a list I'm building. I'm going to hand this list over to them when they're 18, going off to college. This is an investing list. It's also a list about just, you know, life in general. But I'm sharing with you the investing parts of the list. Number 71, beware of billionaires offering political advice on how to vote. Beware of billionaires offering you political advice. When you find billionaires telling you what's great for your pocketbook and what's great for your country, you better beware. Because billionaires did not become billionaires by being friendly and nice. They stepped on heads and they stepped on bodies as they climbed to the top. And they don't get to the top and all of a sudden become altruistic, oh, and they're going to help everybody out. It's the old fable of the scorpion asking for a ride across the river. Right? Can you take me across the river? And when he stings his friend who's helping him go across the river, and they're both about to drown, he says, "Why did you sting me? We're both going to drown." And he says, "Because I'm a scorpion. That's what I do." Okay? So let's don't listen to billionaires. Let's don't listen to entertainers and have them help us make political decisions. They're just regular people, entertainers. They've just been in front of your face on a TV screen or in a movie. It doesn't mean that they know anything more than you do. Think for yourself. And believe me, a billionaire is not giving you free advice. A billionaire has an axe to grind. Think for yourself, people. There's also, I'm clearly a moderate Republican, okay, in case you all didn't figure that out by now from my tweets and from these podcasts. I am a Republican. There are many parts of the Democratic platform that I agree with and that I'm happy to discuss. We all know that one of those parts of their platform is the legalization of marijuana, right? I'm an investor too. But I do believe that the Republicans understand how to grow the economy, jobs, and business. And what I don't understand that drives me insane is that it's right there in the statistics. It's a numbers thing. You can't twist it up and lie about it and call it something else. When states or countries reduce taxes, it increases economic activity, it increases employment. Hey, and guess what? It increases the amount of taxes the government takes in. Why can't people understand this? Why is it so hard to get? You reduce corporate taxes, you reduce personal taxes, you get economic growth and higher tax receipts for the government. It happens all the time, over and over and over again. And yet you still get left-wing liberals who argue against the numbers. It really boggles my mind. It just boggles my mind. You need pro-growth tax policies to actually increase the amount of taxes coming in to a government. You stifle growth. You stifle tax receipts. For those Republicans who are out there panicking about whether or not there's a blue wave tonight, I just wanted to offer this last thought, and then I'll get off politics and back to investing. There is a silver lining to a blue wave. This is going to take a minute to digest, so think about this for a minute with me. We have a pro-growth government right now who's done things to create jobs, which has created an economy with growing GDP, which has led to the Fed raising rates and reducing liquidity. If the Fed keeps doing that, it will result in a recession. It always does. It will result in a recession over the next couple of years leading up to the 2020 election. If the Republicans control the presidency and the House and the Senate, it's almost a guarantee that there'll be a recession in front of the next election, because the central bank and the Fed will be raising rates, and probably aggressively, which will lead to a recession right at the time where Trump's trying to get reelected. That would be a bad thing if you like Trump and you like pro-growth policies. If there's a blue wave and Trump can't get anything done in the next couple of years, and this slows down the growth of GDP, the Fed will probably stop raising rates, may even start adding liquidity again in, who knows, the beginning of 2020. And there'll be somebody to blame other than President Trump, right? It'll be a blue Congress, and you better vote for me again and vote for Republicans if you want to get that growth going again. It's going to be very interesting. I'm not sure it's a really bad thing for it might be a silver lining, if you will. We'll see. All right, let's get back to investing, because that's what this show is about. Thank you for listening to my rants on politics. Getting back to investing, we are focused on the two groups, gold and silver mining companies. GDX is our choice of investment there. I'll be honest with you, we're right near the stop. Okay, so I'm excited about the group that really hasn't made anybody any money on the long side for at least the last 5 or 6 years. So I'll be shocked if we make money on this, but I am putting capital to work here. 19 looks like the area where institutions are starting to put some money to work. It's $19.43 on GDX. If it can hold here, I think we see higher prices. I have a tight stop, so I'm not, I might be out of this by the end of the day. You have to look at your own portfolio if you own this asset, figure out your own stop. For my money, I really can't see this stock go back below 19. And I don't know, I might be reducing the position at higher prices as well, but that's the stop for me. I'm also focused aggressively right now, as aggressive as I've ever been, on the cannabis stocks. Right? A blue wave would be very positive for the cannabis stocks. That just means more legislation to legalize marijuana. So there's a little silver lining to a blue wave as well. But I've got risk on entry points on MJ, and I've been pounding the table on these podcasts the last week telling you that it's incredibly rare you get a second shot at a watershed event. And I'm going to keep pounding the table as they keep going higher. This could be a V reversal. So you've got to already be in this thing. I mean, we're already making money. If you've been listening to this podcast, we're making money everywhere in the space after we were buying down there in the 28 to 29 area. It's so rare that you get a second shot at a watershed event. On August 18th, when we told you to be buying MJ on this podcast, we said $4 billion into Canopy by Constellation Brands is the watershed event. It's going to get institutions to start shoving money into a space that's been a cottage industry up until now. And when institutions start sending money into a space that's small like this, so you have a huge amount of capital trying to get into a small capitalization space, you get big moves in stocks. So we had a big move. MJ jumped 50% in 5 weeks. And then we ran headlong into an October collapse in the stock market. And we got a second shot at these names. They were the last stocks to go down, by the way, in that October debacle. The last 7 days of the sell-off caught those stocks. The last week or so of October is when they came down. The last group to go down is always the first group to go back up. So we got a risk on entry point. We were buying the weakness. Then we doubled it up or more when we got the buy signal a couple days ago, like we talked about on this podcast. And we've branched out into our favorite investments. And I, you know, look, I'm not telling you how to invest for yourself. I'm telling you what I do on my trading desk. You have to look at your own portfolio, determine your own risk. The most conservative way to do it is just to own the ETF with a stop. If you want to get more aggressive, you start buying the individual names. I love the biotech names that have really drugs that affect epilepsy and other – they have unbelievable pipelines coming. These drug companies like GW Pharmaceuticals, obviously the number one play because they already have their approval. But I think Zogenix has got to be in the portfolio because I think an approval is coming there. ZGNX, GWPH, those are the two biotech names I like that are focused on the cannabis properties and how they affect epilepsy. Don't forget Tellry, T-L-R-Y. They also have a finger in a lot of different pies, but one of them is working on a drug such as an epilepsy drug. And I like the investors that are in that company. I think the management team and the investors are probably the best in the space. Then you got to look at CGC. I mean, if Canopy is good enough for a $4 billion investment from Constellation Brands, it's probably a good idea in our portfolios. And I'll tell you what, when institutions try to get money into this space, they're going to look at CGC first because it's the easiest way for them to put money to work. They're going to say, hey, Constellation's already put $4 billion there. So I may as well put some capital there because I know that one, that the work's been done. And so that should be a flagship investment. And then we kind of crawl down the list and have some fun with some of the smaller names. And beware, I'm not telling you to go buy this, but I like InBev. I just think Coca-Cola and Pepsi are looking to revive their market share with beverages that are off the beaten path, things like kombucha and coconut water and matcha and beverages that have CBD in them. And InBev, a $4 stock, $4.50, is a company that focuses on all of those products. So either it's going to be taken out by one of the big names or the big names are going to start advertising and broadening the market and InBev's products are going to be, you know, get the tailwind effect of that. One note that's completely off the beaten path that I want to share with you before the show is over is my simple favorite investment in the defense space, aerospace and defense. My favorite investment there is a company called Kratos. K-T-O-S is the symbol. Kilo, Tango, Oscar, Sierra. We already made money in the stock once. It's come back down. We started adding to the position again today. They announced earnings tonight. The last couple conference calls have been blowouts for the company. And every time I listen to the CEO talk, whether it be in an investment conference or on the conference call with earnings, it sounds like this guy's got the bit in his teeth. And so we're going to take a little risk going into that earnings announcement, see if they continue to outperform. That's for high-risk portfolios, but high reward if we're right. And, of course, all of these ideas that I'm sharing with you have risk on buy signals using our algorithms. So we're putting some risk on, you know, and we'll use stops. We'll use our stops if we have to. We could get clipped here. Just because we have algorithms doesn't mean we make money every time. There are definitely times we put capital to work and, you know, we have to exit for losses on all of them. It happens. We didn't make money long in 2008. You can't get water from a stone. If we go into a bear market, we're going to lose money. But if this is the right entry point, then we want to put some capital to work, and we do it in our favorite whiteboard names. At the top of the name are the marijuana stocks. At the moment, we like some of these. I'm really just GDX. We're just trying a little bit of this gold position. And we really like Kratos, and they have earnings tonight. So we're going to have that portfolio position on. Okay? So I hope you all have a good day, safe day of trading, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.